Today I want to talk to you on this heading, What is God's Will for Me? Or, the long version, What is God's Specific, Personal and Unique Will for Me? Not that I'm being pedantic, God. Because sometimes I think we are very pedantic. Over the years, I have had more people come to me and ask me this than anything else. Pastor, I need to know God's will for my life. And I go back in my mind, in my memory, to when I would have said those things. And I listen and I pray with that person, understanding that I'm a bit older and I'm a bit wiser now. But sometimes we want more. We want something that God has already given us, but we haven't looked in the book. There is a certain person who happens to live in the same house that I live, who, when he builds things or is trying to operate things, he has a habit of ignoring the instruction book. Now, some of the people who live with him, will try to say, have you looked in the instructions, Dad? Oh, in the instructions, you person. And I will say, I don't need the instructions. It's obvious. Yes. And that is exactly my point. You know, who wants to plan for failure? You know, realistically, I used to love the days of Betamax and VHS. People used to come into the shop I managed and they'd want to spend £700 on a video recorder. These days, we wouldn't give you 150 quid for one. In fact, we won't give you anything for a video recorder these days because who uses them? But, you know, the days where people would say, I'll never be able to work that. And part of my job was to say to them, oh, actually, come on, it's very easy. And there was a man called John Cleese, who some of you may remember for his previous incarnation with his silly walk. And he used to advertise a particular brand of video recorder, and he would say, it's so easy, even a six-year-old can use it. But what he didn't tell you was when you bought the video recorder, you didn't get the six-year-old coming with it. And I suppose what I'm saying to you is God has given us an instruction book for life. It's called the Bible. And it is full of wisdom, it's full of insight, and it's full of the divine essence, the Word of God. And I would just suggest to you, you're always welcome on my door, you're always welcome to ring me up, but why not first consult the instruction book? So, why have I said not that I'm being pedantic, God? Because when we come out with these long lists, I specifically need to know by 12 noon, God, what your will is for this very specific purpose. And don't tell me you haven't been there in the past, because I certainly have. And you know, actually, God's good. And he wants you to know and he wants you to understand. When I was in Sunday school, when I was a little boy, well, I was 8, 9, 10, I remember being given a pencil. And it was such a beautiful pencil, I didn't want to write with it. But it was a lovely pencil and it said on it, My word is a lamp to your feet. Something like that. And that taught me at an early age is when I can't see, best to go to the Word of God. And so let's not be a pedant with God. Let's not be always this, I want this detail and I want it now. And Lord, give me patience and give me it immediately. We need to get beyond this. And so often I hear people praying, Father, show me your will for my life. When God is asking you to read the instruction book. Now, I know it's much easier to have God speak to you now. My daughter, my son, here is the answer. That would be much easier, wouldn't it? But actually, it's incredibly easy to open the book. And my encouragement to you is get your head in the book more often, because it has got the answer for you. Are we actually asking God for what his will is? Or are we asking for a crib sheet for life? Oh, Lord, I don't want to make any mistakes, so Lord, you just show me. I'll never forget when I was a teenager, and I must have been camping, and I was at this Christian event, and as I walked out my tent, I saw this family gathered round in prayer, and I went to get my breakfast, and I had my breakfast, and I came back, and they were still gathered in prayer, and there was a lad there who was about 2 years older than me, and he said to me, we're just praying as to whether or not God would have us have breakfast today. Whether God would have us to have breakfast. Whether it's God's will that we should have breakfast. And I thought, well, I never even thought that. I thought it was the grumbling in my stomach that told me breakfast would be a good idea. And as it is provided, I would just walk down and had it. And I've always been mystified by that experience. Why anybody would be seeking God's will on something that you are already, when you are Elijah's age, you are already wise enough to know whether or not you should do it. I tell you what, one of the things I will always know about Elijah is when he's hungry. And he's only 15 months old. And here we are, some of us were a bit older than that. And yet, we just don't know what to do or what the answer is. And actually, God just wants to feed you from his word. And he wants you to know, listen, I trust you about breakfast. You don't have to ask me, is it, oh Lord, is it cornflakes? Or Lord, maybe it's Weetabix? Or is it that muesli that tastes like sawdust mixed in with yogurt? Oh God, whichever it is. God trusts you to make that choice. And that day I felt I grew up a lot. I felt I understood something that my friend didn't understand. We don't actually have to ask God's will for things that he has already told us about. Sometimes when we say, oh, pastor, pray for me, I need to know God's will in my life, what we actually mean is there's one very specific thing that we want, and we want God to rubber stamp that. Good. I think you've all got that point. I don't need to emphasize that. So what does the Bible say about God's will for us? Right. We've just got, I think, four verses today. There might be five. I can't remember. Micah 6 verse 8. He has told you, O man and O woman, what is good and what the Lord really wants from you. Now, isn't that as clear as it could be? This is what God really wants for you. He wants you to promote justice, to be faithful, and to live obediently before your God. Now, depending on the version of your Bible, it might say something about show mercy, but when you look at the roots, these mean very much the same thing. God wants you to be just, to stand with those who are being treated unjustly. He wants you to be faithful. You know, faithfulness is a huge biblical theme. It doesn't matter which book of the Bible you go to, you will find faithfulness is a subject in that book. And let me tell you this, the most faithful man who ever lived was Jesus of Nazareth. He was faithful to his calling, and he was the Son of God. And I want you to know, he has just asked us all to be faithful and to live obediently before your God. Now look, if I said to you, go away and come back to me next week having done those three things, could you actually finish that in a week? No. That has to be a commitment, a lifetime commitment. That really is a lifetime commitment. And yet, it clearly says this is the will of God for you. This is God's will for you. This is a lifetime commitment. Promote justice, be faithful, live obediently. There's not a lot more else to say about that other than do it. Mark 12, verses 30 to 32. You can almost hear Jesus saying this to the person who brings him the question about who is my neighbour. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Love God, love your neighbour. Love God, love everybody else. That's it, people. And you say, but Pastor, I need to know the will of God over whether or not to invest in this new chromium-plated citizen watch or whether to get one of these self-winding Seikos. I wouldn't dream, oh God, of wasting my money on one of those ultra-expensive Rolexes. But I might buy one of those Rolexes that you get at £19.99 at the seaside, which are knockoffs. And if any of you didn't realise you'd bought a knockoff, come on. We need to understand simply this. God's asked us to love him and to let the love for him overflow out of our lives into other people. We need to be lovers of people. And when I say lovers, I'm not meaning that sort of lover. I'm talking about loving that's caring, that's agape love, that's committed, faithful, self-sacrificial love. That type of love. And he calls us to do that. Pastor, what's the will of God for me in my life? That's it. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. This one has offended a few people over the years. Therefore, go. In fact, before this, it says, and Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Commit yourself to sharing the gospel. Do you know what? It's so simple. Sometimes we just have to talk about him. I was probably, I know when it was, I was 20. And I was in the Assemblies of God denomination at the time, and they had a campaign running amongst young people for a year, and it was called The Theophorus Factor. And what you had to do was you had to pay £1, I think, to join or something, and they gave you a badge. And it was a really cheap, tacky-looking badge. And it said on it, The Theophorus Factor. And you had to commit to wearing it for a year. Well, I did. And people said to me, The Theophorus Factor, what's that? And then you had to tell them a story. You had to tell them about Theophorus, who was a bloke. And Theo means God, doesn't it? I can't remember what Thoros means now. But basically, this man told people about Jesus. And you had to tell them that. And it was supposed to lead you into conversations. And I'll never forget going into my favourite tailor that was in Selby in those days. And I got my wedding suit from him, and I got other suits from him over the years. And he said to me, what's the Theophorus Factor? And I told him. And we had a real good conversation. And to be fair, I had some good conversations out of that. Although I always felt embarrassed with how tacky the badge looked. I think sometimes making something well says a lot more than necessarily making it cheap. Jesus told us to go and make disciples. It doesn't matter whether you've got the Theophorus Factor or whether you're inviting people to the next church, Alpha, or whether you are just saying, come on, why don't you try church? Why don't you come along with me one Sunday? You'll find, you know, we're all as mad as hatters, but we're all right. I'm not saying you necessarily say that, because we're not all as mad as hatters. In fact, when I read Alice in Wonderland not long ago, I realised what a stupid thing it is to say, because that hatter really was mad. But, you know, we're all right. We're all right, aren't we? We're all right. You know, so this morning, Paul's got up and said something. Sandra's got up and said something. JT led some great singing. He responded to what was said, and he got up and he sang that last song. And, you know, we've all done a bit, and now I'm here. But you know what? We're all right, because the God we serve is all right. And we're talking good news. It's really good news that Jesus can make a difference in your life. And do you know, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And you know, I'm so glad he does love me. I'm so glad he does, and we just need to share that with some more people. Now then, this is probably the longest one. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-22. Warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Of course, by that, I'm not patient with Elsie. I'm not patient with Sandra. No, it says be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. How do you make sure that? Think about that. We've got to make sure that nobody is doing that. We mustn't be paying back wrong for wrong in this church. My mind goes back to John Mosey standing here, the very first time he did his Life After Lockerbie talk. You know, John lost his daughter Helga, 19 years old, in Pan Am 103 over Lockerbie. And on the day after the disaster, ITN knocked at his front door, spot lamp on his face, and they said, can we talk to you about this? And he's saying, in his heart, he's saying, go away. Go away. I don't want to talk to anybody. But the Lord God spoke to him. And he said, it says in my Bible that, what they actually said to him was, we understand this was a terrorist bomb. What do you think about the terrorists? And he said, my Bible tells me, don't return evil for evil, but return good. And a man, you know, the day before, his 19-year-old daughter's been blown out the sky. And he looks the television camera in the eye and says that. And I have to say to you, of all the men I've ever known in my life, John has demonstrated that year after year after year after year. Colonel Gaddafi made a huge settlement to the victims of Pan Am 103. And I can tell you that every cent of that John has spent on reaching people for the kingdom, and the vast majority of it has been in Muslim countries. Be joyful always. This is a command. So stop looking so miserable. Pray continually. How do you do that? Just learn just to chat with God. Just talk to him. Have a time of prayer every day. Have a couple of times of prayer every day. But all day, talk to God. When something goes wrong, talk to God. When something goes right, talk to God. When something doesn't seem to go at all, talk to God. It's so important we learn to have conversation with God. Give thanks in all circumstances. Don't read what it doesn't say. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. Someone said to me once, oh, my child died, so I began to thank God. Come on. That's stupid. But my child died, and I began to thank God that he was with me. I began to thank God that he loved me. And I began to thank God for everything that I could think of to thank God for. Thank God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I've preached before on this one sentence. If you want to know what the will of God is, it is to give thanks in all circumstances. But to be absolutely fair, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, applies to all on the screen. It's a paragraph. In the Greek, it's supposed to be read together. And we should recognize that it is God's will that we warn those who are idle. And can I just say something? Somebody said to me, this is a long time ago, they said to me, I've been told by someone in the church that I shouldn't be idle, I should get a job. And you know what? This person, I knew them very well, and I knew that although it wasn't obvious, they had a disability. And actually, they couldn't work. And I wanted to take my beloved brother by one side and slap him around. Sorry, I'll have to edit that out. I wanted to lay hands on him suddenly, is what the King James Version says. Because this had hurt this person, and they couldn't do anything about what they were doing, except they were one of the best prayers in the church. And when I'm saying to you, warn those who are idle, don't just go about warning anybody because you think they're a bit idle, or they're a bit less idle, a bit more idle than you are. Don't go around doing that. Encourage the timid. Some people, you know what I mean, they wouldn't say boo to a goose. And actually, when you think about that, I've met some geese that you don't want to say boo to. I met these two, which were guard geese, that a guy had to look after his house, the garden. And if you got near the front gate, they would go for you. And their wings, they can break your arm. And I mean that, they can. So it's a bit of a stupid thing to say, don't say boo to a goose. But what I do want you to understand is, some people are naturally timid. And don't be on their case. Don't be on their case saying, you should say this, you should do that. People need gentle encouragement. They don't need telling off, all right? Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always be kind to each other. Do you know, there are some people that I could look round this room now and I could say, I know by the impact you've had on my life that you are a very kind person. I'm trying not to look at Elsie. But I know that Elsie is a very kind person. When my son was having treatment for cancer, Elsie was one of the few regular people that had my girls for a day. And you know what? They always came home laughing, full of beans, having had a fantastic time. Oh, yeah, sorry. But, you know, you don't have to say to me, have you any evidence that Elsie is a kind person? Yes, I have got evidence, and that's why I know that she's a kind person. But you know what? People can only judge us on our behaviour. And if one time you're shouting people down, and the next time you're giving them a piece of cake, you know, kindness has to have some consistency with it as well. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You might say, what's do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt, test everything. Those three things are one thing. You're talking there about do not tell people to shut up who are faithfully seeking to prophesy, to give a message in tongues, to give an interpretation, to give a word of knowledge, or whatever it is. Allow God's Holy Spirit opportunity to move in other people. Sometimes I've met people who so know how to do it that they won't allow anyone else to do it. Yes. So let me encourage you, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. There's a balance there. You don't treat prophecy with contempt, but test it. You've got to test everything. You don't just accept everything that people say to you. I have had people come up to me and prophesy something which is a technical term for it, really. It's codswallop. I have had people prophesy things to me that are twaddle. That's another technical term. You know what? Sometimes it's how the best will of the hearts, but they've made a blunder. I know that in times past, I have started off well with a prophecy and I've got it a bit wrong. And it's, do you know what the real gift of prophecy is? Is knowing when to shut up. I remember, I probably told this one 100 times. Okay, 101. I was in a national youth rally at the Manchester Free Trade Hall, led by the late, great Warwick Shenton, who was a great friend of mine. And somebody stood up in the upper gallery and they began to prophesy. The Lord doth not dip his sheep. He doth not shear them. It's good so far, isn't it? The next line was, the Lord doth not dip his sheep, he doth not shear them. The Lord doth not dip his sheep, he doth not shear them. And he did not shut up until some guys from the platform worked their way to the back hall, went up the stairs, got up to the gallery and found him and said, will you sit down, brother? This is the last one, Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. When did Jesus say he was coming back? Well, firstly, when did he say it? When he went up. 2,000 years ago. Yeah. He said he would come back, didn't he? Now then, has he come back yet?
No.
No. Not yet. And the Bible says that some people have gone off doing the crazy stuff because it hasn't happened yet. It will. It will. Be patient. Be patient. Jesus will come back. He who is coming will come and will not delay. My righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. This is the will of God for you too. Don't throw away your confidence. Have confidence that Jesus is returning. And he's returning for you. Maureen is going to return for you. Karen is returning for you.
And for Parrish.
Yes. And Malcolm is returning for you. Jesus is returning for us. So don't throw away your confidence, but persevere. Oh, this is the word from God I never want to ever hear. God says persevere. Oh, Lord, help me. Do I have to do? Yes, you do. I was reading last night to Pauline about this man who he never quite knew whether he was saved, born again, a Christian or not. And then they accused him in public and he was stood in front of someone who had the power to kill him. And he stood up and he said, I know that I am a Christian and I am prepared to give my life for my Saviour. That's the sort of perseverance it's talking about. It's, will you take it on the chin for being a Christian? Don't throw away your confidence. Jesus is coming back, and we need to live expecting his coming back, because one day he will. One day we're going to wake up and Jesus is going to be back. That's going to change everything. But you know what? Then we will be with him. And I want to encourage you, don't lose your confidence. Don't put it on one side. But persevere. Keep persevering. Keep going on. Because if you do, you will get there. So, in summary, most of the time, God is wanting you to follow his big picture. Most of the time, you don't need to bother about the small stuff. The Americans have this saying, I quite like it, don't sweat the small stuff. Quite like that. Yet we regularly have our focus pulled off the big things by small things in our lives. Let's focus on the big guidance that he's already given us and allow God to steer us through the small stuff according to the same patterns there are in the big stuff. All those verses I've given you today, remember them. They are the will of God for you. Don't get crazy mixed up about needing to know something infinitely small. God will look after you. Keep the big stuff. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we ask you to help us to be the people you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to lead other people to you, to tell other people about you. Help us, Lord, to always be grateful. Lord, we have so much to be grateful for. Help us, Lord, to always pray, to always talk to you. Help us, Lord, to develop conversational skills with the Almighty. Help us, Lord, in all of these things that we have heard this morning, to persevere. Help us, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.